Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
Praise the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 5. I've been on a journey for about probably 6 years now of my life to know who Jesus is. I didn't realize that out of all the years of ministry that I have been in since I was 19 and gave my life to Christ, and then moving out, or I'd already moved out, moving to Alabama and getting into master's and just starting this journey right now. I'm 37, so it's been a few years that I've been studying and living this Christian life out. But for the last 6 years, I've been really focusing my attention on who Jesus is. And I realized that I really didn't know him those first few years. I preached about him. I talked about him. I got excited about being a part of what the kingdom is and ministry. But when I really narrowed my focus down to say, who is Jesus? I'm like, man, he is amazing. There's things him I really didn't know. For the last 2 years, I've even made it even more narrowed that I've been doing this study that Jesus is king. So that's what I want to share with you today about. I've got some notes and I've got a lot of things I want to read to you. But I want, the title of this message is called Jesus is King. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 3 through 5. It says, for I delivered to you as first importance. You know, if you got your Bible, I want you to highlight that first importance. What I also received that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scripture. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with scripture, and appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. He says there's first importance. And as we look at this scripture, this is just, I'm opening up today and then we'll move into Colossians. There's a lot of important subjects that we study and verses to be memorized. Numerous Christian doctrines that bring hope and encouragement to a person's gospel-centered journey. But Paul tells us here that in all these doctrines and ideas and principles, the first importance, the first thing is knowing the gospel, knowing what Jesus had did for us. That is what we are here to look at today, just some ideas that Jesus is king. There is a lot of trends in the church culture. If you can go, as we were doing these devotional cards, we went to some people that could distribute this material. They said there's over 100,000 material, Christian material each year, over 100,000 that is coming into the church culture to be marketed. So we've got ideas, we've got concepts, we've got thoughts, we've got different things trying to be trendy in this changing generation. But what Paul teaches us here is the first importance is knowing what Jesus did and the power of the cross, the power of who Jesus is. When we begin to see Jesus as king, what was once only a biblical story, a yearly remembrance called Easter, becomes a revolutionary reality that alters the way we view life, its challenges, its frustrations, its joys, its goals, and its dream. When we see Jesus as king, things change. When we start understanding that in the midst of all this technology and information, we simplify our life that Jesus is king, things are going to happen in your life that's never happened before. There's going to be some amazing miracles and testimonies of the miracle-working power of Jesus Christ, even in this day that we're living in. Let me share just a few thoughts with you from a book that I enjoyed reading called Vintage Jesus. He gives some ideas. Jesus as the prophet. We all know this. Jesus as the prophet being the truth teller. Boldly confrontational preacher who attacks sin, folly, and rebellion by rebuking us and commanding us to repent. All of us know Jesus as a prophet. You know, we've been there. We've experienced that convicting power. We've experienced that through the word. When he starts pointing his finger in our chest and say, hey, it's time to make some changes. We've all been there. We've done that. We experienced that even today. Jesus as the prophet. Jesus as a priest. He brings our hopes, our dreams, our fears, our sins before the Father God as an advocate and intercessor, handing out forgiveness and redemption and grace freely. Knowing Jesus as a priest means that he knows us, loves us, pays attention to our lives, and cares for us. So we know Jesus as the priest, that shepherd, that cares for us, that when we're hurting, when we're broken, when we're lost, he comes in and he undergirds us, he hugs us, he encourages us and tells us, hey, you can make it, you can keep going. So we know Jesus as the prophet, we know him as a priest, but the question today is we ask ourselves, do we know him as king? Do we know him as king? Jesus taught that his kingdom includes ruling over both the material and immaterial worlds. That which is visible and physical, and that which is invisible and spiritual. This means that Jesus rules over angels and demons, Christians and non-Christians, men and women, young and old, rich and poor, healthy and sick, the Democrats and the Republicans, the simple and the wise, the living and the dead. Jesus is king over everything. When you start embracing the reality that Jesus controls everything, things are going to change for you. Things are going to happen. The believer who does not see Jesus as king, their attitude is this: the money's mine, the food's mine, the web browser is mine, the schedule is mine, the glory is mine, and I will rule as king over aspects of my own life with Jesus as little more than a trusty assistant. And I'm asking you today, do you know him as king? Do you know Jesus as king? Can you live your life knowing that you can trust him with everything? Because let me tell you something, our culture is not getting better. The world's not getting better, and it's not going to get better. Sorry, I didn't mean to bust that bubble this morning. It's not going to get better, and that's why you're like, oh man, why'd you bring this guy? He's telling us how bad life is. It ain't getting better. Hey, I'm sorry. But when you understand that Jesus is king, no matter what the culture throws at us, no matter what life challenges come our way, Jesus is in charge. He has the final say, and he can still work miracles. Miracles. So let's look at this in Colossians. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 17. So for the next few minutes, I'm just going to show you, and we're just going to look at these scriptures together. May you be strengthened, verse number 11. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Verses 11 and 12. Strengthened with all power. What does this mean? To make strong. The Christian life cannot be lived by mere human energy alone. It requires supernatural strength. You cannot live this Christian life and being what God has called you to be in your own strength. It requires supernatural help. The power, this power, is more than momentary support until trouble has passed. It is the design to produce a steady faith, a believing trust, a living hope, and a deeper knowledge of who Jesus is. Where there is a desire for spiritual living, there is also the need for spiritual strength. You've got to have some help living this life. We live, like I just spoke about a moment, the culture is changing. What we are facing today and what our children will face tomorrow is things that we have never been exposed to before. And we have to walk in the Spirit and have divine help to teach and train, to live this thing out so that we can endure to the end. You know, I love being on fire. Now, listen, I've been through ministry a lot for a while. You know, I've got a few scars. And in my early days, man, we were fired up. I told some folks how when we would worship, we would be sweating because we'd be so energetic, man. It was just into it. Years happen later, man. I don't get all hot and bothered no more like that. You know, I'm getting a little old. But what I've realized, the most important thing in a man and woman's life as a Christian is being steady. I can be fired up. I love being fired up. And I love getting a part of these churches that are just fired up about everything. I enjoy that. But I was riding the other day at work and I said, you know what the most important thing is? It's not my fired up about this moment or fired up about this thing. And then all of a sudden something happens and I lose that fire and then I got to get that fire back. But it's about being steady. Being steady. Because guess what? We are in this for the long haul. And it's about enduring to the end. And Jesus is King. And he wants his people to make it to the end and be steady. We have to have spiritual strength. Why does Paul stress the importance of such power? It was for the solidification of endurance and patience that strengthens the soul. While it lives in the joy of knowing, loving, and serving Jesus better. Knowing that one day soon, redemption, restoration, or reconciliation in the hard-pressed matters of life will come to me and my household. Some of you've got some prayers. Some of you've got some salvation, some souls that need to be saved in your family. Some of you've got some marriages that need restoration. Some of you've got some relationships that needs reconciliation. There's some things in your life that you need God to do today. And he said the reason that we have the strength to endure, that I can lift my eyes up to the heavens and keep my praise alive, is because I know one day this happened. This is going to happen to me and my family. My marriage is going to be right. My family is going to be saved. My body is going to be healed. There's some miracles that's going to take place. And I'm not going to give up believing until I see God do an amazing thing. Let me tell you, I've seen some things these last few years God do. I've experienced some things personally in this journey of knowing Christ. And Jesus is King. He controls everything. And that's a beautiful thought. It is joy when endurance and patience is all that you have. That speaks volume of the inner core of Christian. We are redefining, and I hate to say that real loosely a little bit, but there's times right now that we have to redefine and get people to understand what it means to be Christian. That, hey, this is not Christian, but this is. We're having to reintroduce this to some folks because they're having a distorted view. But when we have this endurance and patience of what it means to be Christian, not only will I bear this trouble for a while, but as long as God is pleased to continue it, that is the Christian that knows Jesus is King. That says, Lord, I'm gonna stay under this weight as long as I need to. I'm gonna stay out in the wilderness as long as I need to, because I know that you are King. And that is what this generation needs to see. They need to see somebody that can endure. But we were raised on those ideas of praying through. I don't know how that this generation is, but when you understand, how many knows what praying through means? That means you go in somewhere and you close the door until you get an answer, until you get a breakthrough, until you feel something different, until the glory of God fills your room. That's what this generation needs. That's what we need today, is that good old fashioned, I know it's horrible, isn't it? That good old fashioned praying through, knowing how to meet Jesus where he is, knowing how to get into a place where you're walking through a wilderness and you feel alone and like everything else around you has fallen, but you can still keep your head above the water and say, Jesus is King and his miracles are still good for me today. That's what we got to have. There's an old song in West Virginia that they would sing. And I'm not going to sing it. Don't, my family, don't get crazy. I'm not going to sing because I can't sing worth a flip. But this is what the lyrics song, they wrote it at my parents' home church, my home church. They said, it's been a wicked battle. It's been a wicked fight. Standing up for Jesus and doing what is right. Satan is defeated and he knows he's going to fall. When the smoke of the battle clears its way, we will be standing tall. That's encouragement. Jesus is King. And that's the disciples and the leaders and the Christians that we have to be today to understand that Jesus is King. So how can we keep our praise? Because Jesus is King and holds it all together. A child of God suffering patiently and thankfully in the midst of a trial is the greatest miracle and the supernatural power at its best. Paul penned this phrase under the guidance of the Holy Spirit that we would not only be supported under our troubles, but that we may be strengthened in them. My anointing's not the same. My praise is not the same anymore. My faith isn't the same anymore. My trust is a little better. My hope is certain. My faith is stronger. My love is deeper. My perspective is clearer. I'm not just getting through, but I'm being made strong. This is how Jesus holds us together. Verse number 15, 16, and 17 in Colossians. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Let me tell you something. Somebody in this room this morning, you need to take this scripture home, and you need to memorize it, that in him all things hold together. I don't understand life sometimes. I don't understand the challenges that we face. But what I do understand is that in some of the darkest times of my personal life, it's been Jesus and Jesus alone that holds it all together. Jesus is both the agent and goal of creation. Jesus is the Lord, the King over all that is. By him all things were created. Here the thought is that the power to create was in his being. He was the architect. Jesus is King over the material and immaterial world. He still has the power to create. There's been instances in the last few weeks. A young girl that we bring to church in our neighborhood comes to church. So we went to church one night. We brought her. It was family worship night. The presence of God was thick. She's not raised in like we were, like my children are being raised in. She's not used to that. So the church, the spirit was real high. So all of a sudden her heart starts pounding because she has a heart problem. She has to carry a monitor. And if her heart rate would get so fast, she'd have to calm down and have some issues. So she had to carry this thing. We're in the middle of this service, man, her heart starts racing. You know, I'm like, man, the power of God's here. You're just freaking out, you know, come on, you know. So they go outside and they do their thing. And I'm like, well, we're about to leave. And so when the service starts ending it, we're on our way home. She starts talking about it. Maddie and myself, we all start talking about, well, me and Maddie, we lay hands on her and we pray for her. Jesus heals her. They're praying for her. And I think there were some of her friends were praying for her that night. There was just, we were praying for her, man. It was an awesome thing. A few days later, she comes to the house and says, guess what? I went to the doctor and I don't have to carry this little monitor. I'm healed. I said, what do you mean you're healed? And she's like, yeah, I'm better, man. I just feel good. Let me tell you something. Jesus is King. Jesus is King. There's been times that my son come in there having problems and being sick. I walk in the bedroom or I walk in the other room and the Lord has said, something said, hey, that's demonic. I ain't weird now. But something said, hey, that's demonic. You need to go pray for him. He said his chest was tight. So I go now and said, son, in the name of Jesus, we're not leaving like this. You're not going to do this.
So I prayed for him, and then the rest of the day, I said, son, do you feel better? He said, yeah, daddy, I feel better. I said, well, you just lay on down. I'm going to finish tonight out by reading the scripture to you. I said, that's awesome. We had a situation where we had a dog problem. I don't know if I should tell him this or not. I'm going to tell him anyways. We got a German Shepherd, man. I love that dog. We had a lady in our neighborhood, and I'll make it pretty concise. She said that our dog got out and said it attacked their dog. We didn't see anything. We didn't know anything, right? So all of a sudden, we get a policeman comes to our house and says, hey, I want to arrest your wife. I said, Amy, I was like, you don't know my wife. Me? Now, I'm the one that could potentially be arrested, you know. I'm like, I'm that guy, you know. And so we had this situation. The man comes to my house. You know, I was very happy that day. I was feeling really peaceful. So he comes up cussing me out, telling me all this stuff. We go on about our business. We find out all this is going to take place. So the first thing we do is we start building the fence to fence in my dog. We take the dog off. Something inside of me says, Keith, keep your receipts. Keep your receipts. I said, okay, I'm going to keep my receipts. I said, this is crazy. So as I had purposely laid out each day with so much work, I went to Lowe's and I would only buy the material that I needed for the day because I don't like having a bunch of extra material laying around the house. So I got what I needed for that day and I built. And each day I had it laid out for a two-week process. The day that I finished was the day the policeman come to try to arrest Amy. So we had to go to court. This whole time, I'm keeping my receipts and we're taking notes of what's going on. Now, I'm not that good. If you know me, I'm not that good. But something told me in my spirit, Keith, you need to keep your receipts. And that's what I did. Little did I know that we would be sitting in a court of law having to defend ourselves over a situation we didn't know. So we walked in there and I said, well, praise God, we got pictures and receipts. We walk in there, we lay on our stuff, said, this is what we've tried to do. This is how we're trying to fix the problem. The judge looks at us and we're like, me and my wife, I mean, look at us. We're not like, I got tattoos, but I'm not like, you know, that, you know, like jailhouse bait or whatever, you know what I'm saying? You know? And so we're like, how in the world did we get here? How am I faced with this? But we had our stuff. And the Lord and the judge looked at us and says, dismiss, we're just throwing this out. Did I know what was coming down the pipe? No way. Something told me inside, said, Keith, keep your receipts. I'm driving home into my neighborhood. I look over at my daughter and I say, and I have this thought, and I ain't gonna tell you what it is. And I thought to myself, now, if this person says something inappropriate to my daughter, that's gonna make me upset. So I look at Maddie and I say, Maddie, I just feel this. You know, I was praying today and I just had this little thought. Something is ever said inappropriate, you tell me. Has something been said? She said, well, Dad, he said, blah, blah, blah. I said, don't ever go back over to that house again. Jesus is king. And when you understand Jesus is king, he will speak to you in ways that you've never had thoughts, ideas, just a realm of living in the... Listen, I'm living in the wilderness in my life. There's things that I'm faced with today, and I've been out of pastoral ministry for 2 years. We had to close our church plant down 2 years ago. So I've been living in this wilderness. And let me tell you, I love it. I love being in the wilderness. I love being in a place where I have to depend on Jesus because I understand that he is king over the material and immaterial worlds. Like I said when we started, when you understand Jesus is king, the reality of being Christian will be different. Your life, your perspective, the way you view everything changes because he is king. I know you're challenged with some your face and what purpose. So let me ask you today, what purpose are you trying to accomplish? What struggle are you trying to overcome? What sickness are you fighting? Jesus is king and still able to do those miracles. Romans 1, 22 and 23, claiming to be wise, they become fools and exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creepy things. Intellectual arrogance before God displays a reverse sense of values. The worship of God is exchanged for devotion to man-made and man-reflecting idols. The instinct to worship is perverted by being centered on the wrong things. And like we've said today, the age of technology makes it very easy for us to have anything we want at the push of a button. And what this is doing is erasing the simplistic nature of the power of the gospel. The power of what Jesus did. First importance. The most important thing we can understand as a Christian is who Jesus is and what he did on that cross and the power that he has for his church. The result has been a church with the form of godliness but denies his power. This is why the church is in love with tweetable one-liners. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. We get that one good one-liner. We go home, we go post it on Facebook. I'm going to get excited. I'm feeling spiritual. I got me a one-liner and I'm going to post it. And now it's bedtime, so I'm going to go crawl over and put my phone up and go to bed and go to work tomorrow. Very little interaction with God. Very little interaction with His Word. Very little interaction with knowing who Jesus is. But I feel good because I got a tweet. Amen. That's a joke, right? Y'all don't do that. Y'all don't do that, right? No, we all do. And that's the world that we live in. We are satisfied with the wrong things. We're consumed. We're preoccupied with the wrong things. Don't make this thing so hard. It's the simple nature of the gospel that makes the difference. I was saved when I was 19. I heard for the first time, listen to this, the doctrine of regeneration. How many's ever heard that word? It's a big Bible word, regeneration. It's a good word. You need to look it up. In my early 30s, though. I never heard that before. Now, I'm fired up loving Jesus. Still today, different doctrines of Christian faith, I'm coming to understand in a mature way, and I think doctrines are important. We have to have that studying. And that understanding, doctrines have their place. They keep our learning of what it means to be Christian alive, which we have to know for the future of our families and salvation and for training and living our life the best it can be. Doctrines are important. Those ideas, the concepts of what it means to be Christian. But it's not those doctrines, guys. Let me tell you something. Like we just said here, intellectual arrogance. We get our minds on the wrong thing. We study, we're looking, and we find ourselves consumed with knowledge, which is a beautiful thing, and it has its place. But those doctrines, it's not those doctrines that's going to keep my head above the water when the rubber meets the road and life starts moving in directions that I wasn't expecting. Listen, I love regeneration, but when I'm going through a hard time, the divine life that I experienced in my conversion when I was saved that brought me from death to life, that's great, but sometimes I need to know that Jesus is alive and that Jesus is King and He's on my side. I love the doctrines and we keep learning, but when the rubber meets the road, it's knowing that Jesus is King that keeps me believing, that keeps me enduring, that keeps me to the end. Solid Christian doctrines will always have a seat at the table, but it's faith in Jesus that moves mountains. It's faith in Jesus that turns addiction into deliverance. It's faith in Jesus that turns sickness into healing. It's faith in Jesus that turns risk into a reward. It's faith in Jesus that takes the broken heart, mends it back together, and creates a beautiful masterpiece. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be there. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Jesus is King, and He holds it all together. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today. Jesus, I thank you for the simplistic nature of the gospel. Lord, it is very complex. There's so much to learn, so much to unfold about who you are, Jesus, and your parables and your teachings and how you instruct our lives. There's so much to know. But Lord, we centralize our focus and our understanding that you are King, that you are King, and that you hold it all together. And so, Lord, today, there's someone, maybe there's someone in this room that is feeling like life has hit them hard. Maybe they're struggling in a relationship. Maybe they're struggling physically with sickness in their body. Maybe, Lord, emotionally there is a struggle taking place. Maybe there's some material things that's come up that they wasn't expecting. They're trying to figure out what to do. Jesus, I pray that you would encourage them today. Let them know that you will hold all things together and that you are King and you still work miracles today. Encourage your people, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your love. We thank you, Jesus, for the life that you live, for giving your life up on a cross, for dying on that cross for our sins and being resurrected to life again so that we can be resurrected in this life. From whatever death, whatever the enemy tries to do to bring death into our families and into our life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.